Joy.
And a pleasant good morning to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is the Shookie Wright Show at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to this program, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday morning, August 4th, 2021. Here we are, folks, in the month of August. And lest I should not mention, we're already starting the new month with a plethora of headlines, especially in Boston sports. But none more bigger than the headline that shook the city of Boston and Bruin fans across New England and elsewhere than the news of David Krejci. David Krejci, after 14 years with the Boston Bruins, deciding to go back home to his native Czech Republic to continue his hockey career playing in the Czech Republic. Any calls, any thoughts on this, and anything else that I may discuss on the show today, feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, the news of David Krejci. My thoughts, when I first saw the news on Friday afternoon, as I was walking inside a Park Street station on the T, and the news came on my phone, I immediately thought to myself, wow, this is shocking, but not completely shocking. Shocking because the timing. You finally have two wingers in Taylor Hall and Craig Smith that you have not had in a very long time. You finally have wingers, and you're deciding to go home. Again, the timing of it all is what shocked me the most. The timing in which that he was going to be a really big piece to this 2021-22 Boston Bruins team beginning next month when training camp begins. Why not shocking? I would say not shocking because if you go back to David Krejci's comments after he signed that contract back in 2014, that he had ideas of going back home to play in the Czech Republic, to play in front of his family, his friends, and to have his kids get to know their grandparents who don't speak any English at all. We knew that this was going to be a possibility. We knew that David Krejci's decision was going to be one of the major focal points of the Boston Bruins offseason here in the summer of 2021. But what we did not understand is how big of a loss was this going to be had he decided to go back to the Czech Republic and continue his hockey career. And the reality is, we now know how big of a loss this is on a multitude of fronts. And even though I'm talking about it with you on the radio, for those that are listening on this Wednesday morning, I'm going to start with the sentimental part. As a fan, my heart is broken. My heart has suffered another loss. It suffered a loss of another key cog of the Boston Bruins that had been part of this organization for nearly a decade and a half. Another key member of that 2011 Stanley Cup championship team is gone. A year ago, at this time, we still had Zdeno Chara. We had David Krejci. And obviously Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, who are still part of this team, and as well as Sukaraz, who was a goalie, but he was the backup goaltender to Tim Thomas. Now, here we are a year later, it's just Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, the only two members remaining from that 2011 championship team that is on the current roster as it currently stands. So, you think about David Krejci. You think about everything that he's meant to the Boston Bruins. One of the things that should always be remembered about David Krejci is this guy absolutely was nails in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You go back to the 2011 and 2013 Stanley Cup final runs by this Boston Bruins team. Who was the NHL leading scorer during both playoff runs for the Boston Bruins? David Krejci. In 2011, and I have said this before, but I'm going to go deeper onto this very point I'm about to make. In 2011, if the Boston Bruins were not led by a historic all-time great performance by Tim Thomas in the Stanley Cup playoffs, David Krejci would have been the Conn Smythe Trophy winner of that playoff in 2011. No question. We don't talk about the 2011 Stanley Cup Championship team without first talking about Tim Thomas. That's a fact. I don't care where you may want to start, where you may want to turn, when you look back on the 10 years that has been since that team won the Stanley Cup in 2011, you don't start talking about that Stanley Cup championship team without talking about Tim Thomas. But right after that, you have to talk about David Krejci because of how good David Krejci was. And in 2013... anchoring that same line that helped them win the Stanley Cup in 2011. And that's the other part of it too. David Krejci being a centerman on that line with Milan Lucic and Nathan Horton, who led the NHL in scoring that postseason, that 2013 postseason. David Krejci. David Krejci in the postseason throughout his career has come up big time after time after time. In fact, Krejci had a really good postseason in 2021. Although the Boston Bruins fell to the New York Islanders in six games, David Krejci had a pretty good postseason. So if anything from his legacy is to be forever remembered and cherished, it's the fact that David Krejci was one of the better postseason performers of his generation for the Bruins teams that got to the Stanley Cup Finals three times in 10 years. 2011, 2013, and again in 2019. Now, to the even bigger question regarding the Boston Bruins as to where they go from here. This is the big question I'm going to pose to you, Boston, and all of you that are listening wherever you may be. Where do the Bruins go from here in terms of the second-line center position? Because the way I see it is that although the Boston Bruins, they had a very active first day of free agency, I liked a lot of the moves that they made, bringing in Nick Foligno, Derek Forbort, Tomasz Noshek, and as well as Eric Haller. And don't forget, as well as Linus Ullmark as well. I thought those were really good moves. But as far as the forwards are concerned, they don't have a second line center. And if I'm the Boston Bruins, I'm not sure if that second line center is on this current roster. I'm honestly not. And I say this because I know there are some Bruin fans that are thinking this morning, like, wait a minute. What about Charlie Coyle? Coyle is not your second-line centerman. Please, Boston Bruins fans, let's not lose our marbles here. Charlie Coyle is not your second-line centerman. Then who is? On this roster that I look at currently, maybe you ought to give Jack Stanika an opportunity. This is the one guy I fully expect, come training camp next month, to take full advantage of this opportunity. This is the best opportunity that he is going to have as a Boston Bruin. Because listen, I understand. Last season, he couldn't even crack the NHL roster and so forth. I get all of that. Fine. I'll give you that. But now, you talk about a young player that was drafted and developed by the Boston Bruins. He now has an opportunity to finally show what he can do. This is his time. It's time for Jack Stachnika to step into that second line center role. And this is a guy that's got speed. This is a guy that's got some size. He's 6'1", 171. This is a guy that I look at and I say, I think this guy could be the answer. And frankly, I think this guy is going to be the answer. It may not happen immediately, but I think he does make the opening night roster for the Boston Bruins. But the loss of David Krejci cannot go without saying that this is a massive loss for the Boston Bruins organization, for a player that has been such a key integral part of this franchise's success over the last 10 years. On a smaller note, I do wonder how David Pastrnak is going to cope and deal with David Krejci no longer being on the team. Because Pastrnak have said before that Krejci was a player, also a fellow countryman, that he absolutely looked up to. Remember, Pastrnak made his NHL debut during the 2014-15 season. And Krejci took him under his wing, showed him the way how to be a professional, etc., etc., etc. Now, with him being gone, I do wonder, also, in terms of the leadership, because that's the other part of it that doesn't get talked about enough. Because we know that Krejci was one of the captains in that locker room for the Boston Bruins. Now, Krejci is gone. Obviously, Patrice Bergeron is the captain still. Brad Marchand is still the alternate captain. Krejci was that other one. And now, in terms of leadership, who does the A-patch go to in that locker room? And I want this question to be put out there because I'm pretty sure it's something that I believe that Bruin fans are already talking about, and I'm sure that Bruins management is going to talk about as well. And let's make something abundantly clear. No one in that locker room can replace David Krejci's leadership and what he meant to that team, period. That's just keeping it all the way a buck. There's no one in that locker room that can replace the tangibles that David Krejci brought to the table. Now, in terms of leadership, that is something that's going to be a big void in that locker room. So that's why I pose the question, who is going to take the new A on that team? And my answer to that, it should be Charlie McAvoy. Charlie McAvoy has earned his stripes with this team. He is now one of the top echelon defensemen in the NHL. He's a top five defenseman. Most evident shown in his top five finish for the Norris Trophy Award this past season. And he is the key cog for the Boston Bruins blue line moving forward. And I think that Charlie McAvoy is ready for that responsibility. He's ready to take on that pressure of, hey, you're the young guy. He's going to be 24 on December 21st. I think based on what we've seen from Charlie McAvoy, the growth that he has taken throughout his career, and now becoming one of the better defensemen in the league, but then also more importantly, being such an important part of the Bruins' blue line, the most irreplaceable player on the Boston Bruins right now, in Charlie McAvoy, I think that McAvoy is ready to be the alternate captain that takes on the A patch after the departure of David Krejci. Because let's face it, the Bruins locker room is full of leaders. No questions about that. I have full faith and full belief in the leadership group on this team. But we've seen this leadership group dwindle over the course of the last two off seasons. Chara leaving a year ago last December. Tori Krug also leaving last summer as well. And now David Krejci. David Krejci's departure from the Boston Bruins stings on a multitude of levels. First and foremost, what he brought to the table, and as well as his performances in the postseason, absolutely magical when the team needed him the most. And I also do think that David Krejci's leadership in that locker room is also going to be sorely missed as well. And I think it's going to be absolutely key and important that the Boston Bruins find a way to navigate through this loss, figure out who's going to be that second-line center. Because I do believe it should be Jack Sidnicka, but he's going to have to earn it during training camp and so forth. But I also do believe that if they feel that the answer is not on this current roster, who can they go get on the open market that can fit in seamlessly on that second line, having Taylor Hall and Craig Smith on opposite wings? That remains to be seen. Coming up next, we're going to talk Boston Red Sox and why the trade deadline was an absolute unmitigated disaster. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shoopy Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tough Street Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine
are groceries.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
John, we can't keep putting this off.
Okay, I'll clean the gutters.
I'm talking about your dad.
Well, what can we do? He wants to stay in his house.
We can make his house safer.
Yeah, I worry about the steps.
Perfect world, there are no steps, but he does have steps. And that banister only goes halfway up. And all those little throw rugs are falls waiting to happen.
So what about his prescription meds? If he forgets and takes them twice, he could get really dizzy.
Right. We could get him one of those daily pill counters. And he should have some sturdy hand grips in the bathroom and shower. This is all easy to do.
You know he's a proud guy. He's not going to take all our fussing lying down.
That's the idea.
For older people, falling and breaking a hip can be devastating. For more tips on making homes safer, visit orthoinfo.org/falls. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association.
Now please, clean the gutters. Just be careful on the ladder.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Just want to give you a couple of quick reminders that you can listen to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, on demand on iHeartRadio on the Shukri Wright's podcast. Type in the Shukri Wright's podcast on iHeartRadio and wherever else you get your podcast and listen to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO on demand. Now, I would go Scorch Earth on the Boston Red Sox, but what good is that going to do? So I'm not going to go Scorch Earth, but rather I'm going to attempt to pick them apart during this segment because it's very difficult for me to understand truthfully, and I speak as an unbiased baseball fan, that you have a team that is one of the best, if not the best, in the American League, that you don't go out and you make a true conservative effort to improve your ball club. I don't know a Red Sox fan coming off the weekend series against the Tampa Bay Rays that could honestly say, well, they feel real good coming out of the deadline. They feel great. I don't know who can and who should. Because if anything, this tells me that there's a reason to be concerned. And no, I'm not jumping to the extreme of, well, the Red Sox, they're about to miss the playoffs. No, I'm not going that far. But there are reasons to be legitimately concerned. Number one, the Red Sox and all Red Sox Nation have known that first base is a glaring need on this roster. They didn't address it. I've even said that they could also use a starting pitcher. They didn't address the starting rotation. Well, Chris Sale is coming back. Well, here's the problem. The fact that you're relying heavily on Chris Sale is actually problematic in its own right because you don't know what you're going to get when he returns to the big club. And I don't understand Red Sox management for the life of me. Even as I sit here this morning and I really think about the big picture of this team, that yes, you are building for the future. Yes, you're trying to replenish the farm system. I get all of those things, fine and dandy. Respect to Chaim Bloom in that regard. But it does not mean that you should be inhibited from spending and going out to make moves that's going to make the ball club any better. I think that Chaim Bloom did a pretty poor job of being aggressive and going after what the Red Sox needed for its roster for the stretch run. Because let me tell you something. I hate to break it to you, and I'm talking to the Red Sox manager in this particular moment, But newsflash, the other teams in the American League East, they all got better. The Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Tampa Bay Rays, they all got better at the deadline. While the Red Sox, I'd say they got worse. In fact, they did get worse. Like, if your best move is to acquire Kyle Schwarber from the Washington Nationals for right-handed pitcher Aldo Ramirez, it's like, okay, what else? This isn't a move that you get up out of your seat and you're like, oh my God, yes, let's go. I'm fired up. But rather, this is a move that you're like, okay, all right, this is a start. What else? Except that Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox front office said, oh, that's it. That's it? That's all you got? Well, yeah, I mean, no, that really was it. That was it. Other than that, your next major move was acquiring left-handed pitcher Austin Davis from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you sent Michael Chavis to the Pittsburgh Pirates in return. That's it. That is it. And I'm just amazed how the Red Sox could look at this team and say, well, we got to this point with what we have. I'm going to just say, we're not going to add to it. We're just going to stand put. Meanwhile, you have the New York Yankees addressing their needs. They acquired two power bats from the left-handed side in Joey Gallo, and the most shocking of them all, Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs. Joey Gallo, formerly of the Texas Rangers. And for the baseball pundits out there, one of the major criticisms for the New York Yankees is that they have no left-handed power bats in that lineup. Hey, guess what? The Yankees went out and they got two, not one. Not just Joey Gallo. Yes, he strikes out a lot, but that man is a 40 home run hitter. But also Anthony Rizzo, the man that Red Sox Nation wanted in Boston so bad. And even on last week's show, I briefly mentioned that Anthony Rizzo would be the guy that could play first base here in Boston. But front office and ownership group said, nah, we're just going to pass. I'd like to know why. Why did you look at this team and you say, well, if we're going to make any moves, we're going to be small moves. You know, we're going to wait for Chris Sale, who, by the way, is coming off Tommy John. Coming off Tommy John. And the way that it looks like to me right now, you're looking for this guy to be the savior of your rotation. And that's bad news waiting to happen, Red Sox Nation. It really is bad news waiting to happen. That you're going to put all of your chips and all of your die in the middle for a guy coming off Tommy John surgery and Chris Sale, and you don't address the first base situation. Kyle Schwarber is not a real first baseman. He's not. He's more of an outfielder. He's not going to be the DH because you already have that in JD Martinez. So again, you still have a weakness. You still have a weakness at first base. You still have question marks in your pitching rotation because the pitching rotation has pitched above expectation, above where a lot of people thought they were going to be this season. Their Red Sox management goes, we got Chris Sale coming back. He's going to be our acquisition. You know, there's the old adage in baseball, the best moves are the ones that you don't make. The Red Sox so far, in the first three games after the trade deadline, not good. You got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. You had the opener against the Detroit Tigers last night. But the weekend series against the Tampa Bay Rays should have you feeling quite alarmed this morning. Although you are right in the heat of a pennant race between yourselves and the Tampa Bay Rays, This should leave you reason to be concerned. And if I was a Red Sox fan, I'd be concerned. And the reason being is, oh, they went out and they got themselves another bat. And not just any bat at that. They acquired one Nelson Cruz. And oh, by the way, we know that Nelson Cruz has been one of the preeminent performers in October for quite some time now. And the Rays are a much better offensive team as it currently stands than the Boston Red Sox. I'm going off the deep end. The Tampa Bay Rays have gotten better offensively. While the Red Sox, yes, J.D. Martinez is having a bounce-back season. Rafael Devers has been amazing. Xander Bogaerts has been pretty solid, by and large part. But at the same time, other teams in the division got better. I talked about the Yankees. I talked about the Tampa Bay Rays. How about the Toronto Blue Jays? They went out and they acquired one Jose Berrios from the Minnesota Twins. A guy that I think the Red Sox could have had if they had shown some cojones, if they had shown some guts, but they failed that test. And Chaim Bloom, in his first year as the president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox, failed a key test. And because of his lack of movement, the Red Sox may actually fall apart in October because they did not address a certain need that they've had all season long. Bobby Dalbec is not your answer at first. Sorry. He's not your answer in the short term. Long term, maybe the jury is still out on this one. But no, this isn't it. And the bigger worry that I have for the Red Sox is, how could you allow your competitors, three of them in the same division, to get better while your biggest move is getting Kyle Schwarber? Kyle Schwarber is more of a ho-hum, okay, not the move that's going to put a really good team over the top in October. This isn't it. And if you're a Red Sox fan, you should be pretty irate and frustrated with Red Sox front office, because when is it going to get through their heads that the moves and the team that they currently have, yes, it's been good for most of the season, but don't be fooled that things cannot change during the final 2 months of the regular season. Because that's the direction that the Boston Red Sox are heading right now. And based on what we've seen, and I know it's only been 3 games, but let's be honest, those 3 games did not look good. The Sunday night game against the Tampa Bay Rays, in which that I will admit, the Red Sox did look better overall, but they still lost. If you are a Red Sox fan on the morning of Wednesday, August 4th, how concerned are you? Because let's face it, that Tampa Bay Rays, they know they're going to be in a dogfight. The Boston Red Sox, I'm pretty sure the players are aware they are going to be in a dogfight. My big question to the Boston Red Sox front office is, did you honestly underestimate your opponents in the division like the New York Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Toronto Blue Jays, thinking that they were going to stand pat? Because if your honest answer to yourselves is yes, the early returns and the early results have not been in your favor. They have not been good for the Red Sox. And your arch rival, the New York Yankees, I got news for you. Yes, they played the Florida Marlins, and this is not to overlook the Florida Marlins by any stretch of the imagination. But the 3 games so far, Anthony Rizzo has played with the New York Yankees. They've looked good. He's looked really good so far. Joey Gallo, he's going to, you know, take his time to adjust. But by and large part, he's looked okay. Yet the Red Sox answer to address their issues? Now we're going to trade away Michael Chavis. we're going to acquire Kyle Schwarber. How do you feel good about this team this morning in terms of where they currently are? And yes, the division is not decided in August. I get that. But if you're looking at rosters, comparing all three of these rosters, and you are to say, well, how does this roster compare to my division rival's roster come October? Comparisons, yes, you guys still got a pretty good roster if you're the Boston Red Sox, but are we allowing complacency to really just begin to seep into the minds of the Red Sox front office? Because let me tell you something. I would absolutely hate for the Red Sox to lose in the first round or lose in the ALCS should they get that far, or even not even win at all this year, because the front office said, well, we don't need to make any major moves. We don't need to address certain issues. And that would be the first stain on Chaim Bloom's resume as the baseball guy for the Boston Red Sox. That really would be. You had a chance to go get Jose Berrios, who didn't even cost much. And you did nothing. You did nothing. And on top of that, you had a chance to go get Anthony Rizzo. But you were not willing to make that move and to show that you got some serious cojones. And that's rather an indictment against Chaim Bloom and ownership group than anyone else. And that in itself is really a damn shame. Coming up next, the next segment of the radio program is going to get a little weird. Weird but entertaining. It's going to be a mixture of some NFL, some rambling about something random that I experienced, and as well as something about people that really just rubbed me the wrong way. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is coming up next. Keep it locked in right here to the Shuki Wright Show right here. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Metro Tufts. Freeform Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end, that we have to create a system that's fair, reliable, and just. There are thousands of innocent people in our jails and prisons. It's time for change. We still live in a country where there is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. It created laws that legally segregated Black people, marginalized them, deprived them of basic opportunities. We're not free in this country. We're burdened by a long history of slavery. We developed a narrative that Black people aren't as good as white people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us. There's something that feels more like equality, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tuss Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune into this program this morning as you are out, maybe out for a walk, maybe making your way to work. Or whatnot. It's always appreciated that you're able to tune in and listen to this program. We are coming to you every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. You can also catch the show on demand if you missed the live broadcast on iHeartRadio via the Shukri Writes podcast. Again, if you happen to miss the airing of the program, which is Wednesday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., no worries. Just head over to the Shukri Writes podcast. It's there. You'll see the Shukri Writes show with the date August 4th, 2021, on it from 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Now, NFL training camp. What's been going on? What's been shaking? Well, the news out of Indy that came out regarding Carson Wentz's foot, not good. But I'm actually happy that he opted to rehab his foot over immediate surgery. And maybe I'm just making a bigger deal than what it really is. That tells me that he's in a happy place. Because if this would have happened while he was the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, he probably would have opted for surgery, missed a significant amount of time, and that also he wants to have an opportunity to make things right in Indy. Ian Rappaport, the insider for the NFL Network, reported that the Colts quarterback plans to rest and rehab his foot injury over the next few days, and that the option leaves the door open for Wentz to be available for week one. Rappaport also added that if Wentz does not improve during rehab, surgery might be required, but that shouldn't keep him out of many games, unquote. That's good news if you're a Colts fan, because you made the big trade during the offseason. You needed a quarterback. You got Carson Wentz. But the concern for Carson Wentz over the last few years has been his inability to stay healthy. Now, will that change in Indy? Hopefully. And hopefully that he doesn't have to miss any significant amount of time as it currently stands, as long as his feet continues to hold up, or should I say his foot continues to hold up, that he should be ready for week one. Also, I just want to give you a quick thought on this other headline that really stood out to me from over the weekend. And that is Bill Belichick and N'Keal Harry finally having a conversation for the first time since the trade request that was put out there by his agent. This was reported by Kevin Patra of NFL.com, around the NFL writer, that N'Keal Harry's trade request lingers overhead as the Patriots press forward with the second week of training camp. But speaking last week, the third-year pro said that he would be fine remaining with the Pats despite the trade request. On Monday, Belichick said that he spoke with N'Keal Harry about the request to leave New England. And this was Bill Belichick's response. Quote, N'Keal and I have talked about it. We had a good conversation. We have a good relationship. So I'm not going to get into all that. Unquote. I believe that N'Keal Harry has a good relationship with Bill Belichick, but it doesn't diminish the fact that N'Keal Harry has been an absolute bust up until this point for the New England Patriots, considering that he was the first round pick for the Patriots in 2019. And it still blows my mind that they didn't draft DK Metcalf, who went in the second round to the Seattle Seahawks. It really does. But that's neither here nor there. So in regards to N'Keal Harry, the way I look at him now is, let's see, what can you do? Can you contribute anything to the Patriots offense in 2021? That remains to be seen. But also, another headline I just want to give you a quick thought on as we talk NFL training camp, as we are now in the first full week of all 32 teams in progress at NFL training camp, is let's go to talk about the San Francisco 49ers for just a quick moment. Because the topic of discussion in San Fran has been Jimmy G. Can he and will he beat out Trey Lance as the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers? But the thing that stands out to me is this. There is a solid belief within the organization, starting from the head coach all the way to upper management, that Jimmy G is going to lose his job to Trey Lance. It may not be now. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He is ultimately going to replace Jimmy Garoppolo as the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. In fact, there's a quote that Shanahan had said to Peter King of Football Morning in America that really stood out to me. I want to share with you that quote. And this is what the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, said. He said, quote, "It's not as hard as you think. In this business, if you're trying to plan out the next 6 months and say where it's going, that it's a mistake. You can't do it. What I told Jimmy right when we made the trade is, I don't know any rookie who can come and beat you out if you're playing at his best self. I didn't necessarily think he was there last year at training camp. Then he had the injuries and stuff. But right now, I see him playing well out here. If he can continue to go that way, that's great for Trey. That's great for our team. Then Trey can wait till he's at his best self, which doesn't happen overnight." End quote. Let me ask you this honest question, Kyle Shanahan. If Trey Lance, for example, showed the gifts or anything remotely similar to Patrick Mahomes-esque, you mean to honestly tell me that you're not going to, you know, start Trey Lance over Jimmy Garoppolo? Let's see right through the malarkey here. Like, yes, Jimmy G was banged up last season. And as the head coach Kyle Shanahan said in that quote, he wasn't at his best self last year during training camp either. So if you tell me that Trey Lance is ready and has proven that he can be the guy for the job, what's the issue? What is the issue? Is it the fact that you, the San Francisco 49ers, have not gotten back anything in terms of a substantial return offer for Jimmy Garoppolo's services as the starting quarterback in the National Football League? Is that what it really is? Because to me, the way I look at it is that that is the worst kept secret in San Francisco. They really are putting out there as a PR, we believe in Jimmy Garoppolo, but in reality, we have the guy that's ready to step in at any given moment in time. And that's the truth. Trey Lance is not brought there by happenstance especially when he was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. He's not brought there by happenstance. He's not there to be holding the clipboard for more than a year, if at that. He's there to start, and start soon. It's only a matter of when. If Jimmy G gets off to a poor start, don't be surprised that Trey Lance is the starting quarterback by the time we get to week 5. I'm serious. Because let's be honest, the leash is going to be shorter in San Francisco. The patience level is going to be shorter in San Francisco this year because guess what? They know what they have in Trey Lance. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Now, I want to share with you a story because, as I mentioned in the tease to end the previous segment, I want to talk about something that absolutely drives me off the absolute wall. I swear, it's just flat-out comedy. Like, for any of you out there that has ever lived with roommates at any given point, maybe you might understand this. And if so, if you agree, shoot me a tweet, please. At SHUKRIWRIGHTS, at Shukri Writes. It's at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. You understand how people could be rather sneaky, passive aggressive, all of that, you know? So there's a story that I want to share with you, the folks out there. And for anyone that could relate to this, just give me a silent nod, what I'm about to tell you. You know how when people don't have the unmitigated gall to, you know, confront you about something, they start doing little ticky-tack petty things to drive you off the wall or at least attempt to get you out of your character? Yeah. You know, as adults, and I would hope that this is practice at home, that you go to the bathroom, you clean after yourself, and then you leave, right? So for some reason, someone in the house decided it would be a good idea to make a sign, a typed up sign saying, please be mindful of the people to come after you. Please clean after yourself. And my thought was, okay, where is this coming from? Where did this come from and why? So, to make matters even worse, there is an Instagram story from one of my now former roommates, whose name shall remain anonymous, basically having a whole list of what an adult should do. Meanwhile, this individual is the first to throw stones while living in a glass house. I just think it's absolutely hilarious how people have the need to try to get a point across when they don't have the balls to actually come up to you and have a conversation. That's the kind of nonsense that I absolutely cannot respect. I can't respect it. If you have a particular issue with me, come talk to me like an adult. Don't resort to just petty nonsense and petty bullcrap. It's rather low. It makes you look low. If anything, this makes you look like an absolute child. Because that tells me, whoever that individual is, and I don't care who it was, it tells me that you don't have any sort of confidence within yourself to actually say, hey, I'd like to have a meeting or have a discussion and so forth, blah, 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 blah. It tells me that, oh, no, we're going to make paper signs and we're going to, you know, post cryptic messages on Instagram story and stuff like that. Like, no, I'm actually bringing this to the forefront because I really hate people who absolutely have to be passive aggressive and not have the a mitigated confidence and balls to step up and say, hey, we need to talk about something because this has been bothering me for quite some time. Like, I don't have time for adults to act like children. That's what I'm basically saying. I just don't. It's that kind of thing that when you're out in public and you just see something that people do that just absolutely grinds your gears, imagine in the home where you're supposed to feel comfortable. Yeah, that's a whole other level of aggravation that I don't need, that no one should have to deal with. Like, for example, if you're going to use maxi pads, seriously, please throw it away. And when I say throw it away, I mean make sure that it's not sticking out where you can actually still see the darn bloody thing still sticking out. Yeah, try that. It's gross. It's very grotesque. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way, especially seeing that in the morning to start my day. Nah, absolutely not. It's gross. It's really inconsiderate. So don't throw shade if you absolutely are rather pretty unclean. Like, I got time. I've got the platform to do it. And I know that this is a sports talk show, but this is one of those times where I say, you know what? I purposely derailed the train off the train tracks this morning. And I don't feel bad about it one bit. Why would I? Why should I? Why should I feel bad? Oh no. Did it hurt your feelings? Oh, I'm sorry. Should I get you a little handkerchief, you know, to pat down the tears off your face? Should I get you a little, you know, a little goodie bag saying, you know, you're done real good, you know? Huh? Is that what you want? No. I don't got time. I don't got time for petulant adults who want to act like freaking children. Even children have better wherewithal than some adults out here, I swear. It's absolutely absurd. It's disgusting, honestly. Anyway, hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday morning. Because I sure am. Hope you enjoyed the program. Because guess what? I got time. Got lots of time. In fact, I stand corrected. I don't have a whole lot of time left in this program because this program is coming to an end in about roughly 90 seconds. So with that being said, I just want to give you my quick final thoughts right here on the Shukarite Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. NFL preseason, the games return this week. In fact, on August 5th, on Thursday, that's tomorrow, got the Hall of Fame game. Cowboys Steelers, first live NFL game of the 2021 NFL preseason. And then we have a fun 18 weeks of NFL football coming up after the preseason. Man, I'm telling you, I told you last week, in my mind, football season started. I'm ready. I am so excited. Like, genuinely excited. And I'll be watching. I will be watching the Cowboys and Steelers on Thursday night. 8 o'clock on Fox, not on NBC, on Fox this year. And this weekend is also the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Class of 2020 will be inducted on Saturday, and then on Sunday, it'll be the class of 2021. It's going to be a tremendous class. I cannot wait to see Peyton Manning get inducted, as well as Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, you know, just to name a few. As well. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukarite Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukarite signing off, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Due to COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.